Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song makes you wonderful. Something you never seen before.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been following the ministry of Jesus. And today, as we continue in John chapter 6, verse 21, we'll find Jesus explaining the difference between those that seek Him for spiritual reasons and those that seek Him for their physical needs, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
And so, Jesus walking on the sea to them, then they willingly received Him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. On the following day, when the people who were standing on the other side of the sea saw that there was no other boat there except that one which His disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered that boat with His disciples, but His disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias near the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. And when the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor His disciples, they also got into boats and came to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. And when they found Him on the other side of the sea, they said to Him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek Me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." Oh my. In other words, what Jesus is saying is, you're not seeking Me for the right reason. You're not seeking Me for a spiritual reason. You're seeking Me for the fact that you ate the loaves. You're seeking Me to satisfy your physical need. You're not seeking Me primarily for your spiritual need. And that still happens today. And there are people who, they're coming to the Lord not because they see the spiritual value in coming to Him, but because they've got some other situation going on in their life and they want the Lord to fix it. And oh, how many times have we seen this? A guy treats his wife like trash for years, and finally she says, "It's over, I'm through, I can't do it anymore." And man, the guy is, you know, he's camping here at the church. You can't get him to leave. And oh, I want to seek the Lord, and here I am. And but you know, underneath, it's really, I got to get my wife back. You know, I can't really do laundry. I'm not really a good cook. You know, she was so great, and now she's gone, and I've blown it. And can Jesus help me get her back? You seek Me not because you saw the signs. You see, that's what's happening. You know, the Lord certainly puts marriages back together, and He certainly helps people out, but He helps those who come to Him for the right reason. And oftentimes when people come, you know, we have to tell them, a man, look, your wife might never come back to you. That is not really the point. The point is you need to get right with God. And that's what Jesus is bringing to the attention of the people here. They were seeking Him, but not because of the signs, but because they ate the loaves and were filled. And now listen to what He says. "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him." Do not labor for the food that perishes. Oh, they were laboring. They traveled that great distance. Oh, whew, Whoa, we're worn out. Oh, Jesus, it's great to see you. Boy, where's the food? Don't labor for the food that perishes. This is what man occupies himself with in this world, laboring for the food that perishes. People spend their lives laboring for things that will eventually perish, that will ultimately perish. Never considering, thinking about the reality that this stuff is just stuff and it's going to stay behind when I go. And Jesus, he communicated this message in so many different ways. Remember, he said at one point, he said, "What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?" That's the same idea. Laboring for the food that perishes, gaining the whole world. What if you could become the ruler of the whole world? But when you die, you lost your soul. You would have been king for a day. But then you've got eternity to pay. And any thinking person, you weigh those two things out, you think, oh, this is a bad deal. Not laboring for the food that perishes. And we, of course, we have to live in this world. We have to provide for ourselves, for our families, and things like that. The Bible tells us to do that. But it always reminds us that that's not to be the priority. That's not to be the thing that consumes life, because that's the tendency. And Jesus said it again in another place. He said the Gentiles, using that term in a general sense to refer to those who don't know the Lord, those who don't believe. He said, they seek after what shall I eat and what shall I wear and how shall I be sheltered and covered and provided for. Those are the things that Gentiles seek after. Those are the things that their lives are preoccupied with. What are they doing? They're laboring for the food that perishes. But Jesus said, don't do that. Why? Because your Father knows the things you need. And so what are we to do? We are to seek first the kingdom of God. We're to labor for the things of the kingdom, knowing that God will take care of those other things. And it goes back to that word from the Lord, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other things being added to us, not laboring for the food that perishes, not spending our life's energy on things that are just going to vanish, grow old, not storing up treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break in and steal, as Jesus said, but storing up treasures in heaven. That's what Jesus is talking about. You know, we have to think beyond the moment, because we tend to only think about, you know, our current situation. But we need to remember the past and we need to think about the future. And it's not wrong to have money. We need money. It's not wrong to be wealthy. But it is wrong to put your trust in those things. And it is wrong to spend your life consumed with those things. And as Paul says there in his word to Timothy, tell those who are rich in this world not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives to all men richly. You see, that's the thing. We're to be trusting in God, not laboring for the food that perishes. They said to him, they didn't like this. You can see by their response. They didn't like the way Jesus greeted them. They were so excited. Lord, we've been looking for you. Oh, it's great to see you. And Jesus, you know, he shoots straight with them. You're not seeking me for the right reasons. They didn't like that. So they said, well, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. They're wanting to work for God. Okay, we were wrong about this, so what are you telling us? What are we supposed to do? Jesus said, this is what you're supposed to do. You're to believe in him whom he sent. You're to believe in him. You're to embrace him. You're to submit to him. You're to put him at the center of your life. Well, they didn't like that either. Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do?" So they were astounded by the miracle until Jesus showed them that their hearts weren't right. And now they're upset and they're challenging him. Okay, you're telling us this. Well, give us a sign. What about the sign he had just given? They've already forgotten that. Just shows where their hearts were really at. And then they said to him, "Our fathers ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So what they're doing right now is they're saying basically, "Oh, you think you're something? You think that miracle you did was something? Well, our fathers ate manna in the desert for 40 years. You just fed people for one afternoon. Let's see if you could feed them for a whole generation." And they're making a comparison. Of course, the leaders would always go back and lean on Moses, wouldn't they? They would always go back and say, "We're Moses' disciple." And that's really what they're doing right here. Saying, "Aha, you think this is a great sign? Well, Moses, he fed our fathers for 40 years in the wilderness." Jesus responded and he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven." Of course, it wasn't Moses who fed the children of Israel, was it? It was God. But they had lost sight of that. But Jesus says, "My Father gives you the true bread, which comes from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." That must have been really good bread that they had had, because these guys are wanting to get a supply of this bread. Now, it's clear, as we look at it closely, it's clear they still do not get what he's talking about. They do not understand that he's talking about something spiritual rather than something material. And so he's saying, basically, "My Father gives you the true bread." They're saying, "Okay, where is it? Give us that bread." It's like the woman at the well. Remember when Jesus was talking to her about the living water, and she can't grasp either that he's talking to her about spiritual things. And she says, "Okay, well, give me some of that water so I don't have to come here and draw anymore. But how are you going to get it? The well's deep. You don't have anything to draw with." It is amazing how dull we can be in regard to the things of the Spirit. Have you ever sensed that within yourself, just a dullness to the things of the Spirit? That's just part of our condition as sinners. And they were not getting it. And so they said, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." You see, they're saying, "Lord, give me this bread." He says, "I am the bread." He's speaking very plainly to them. "He who comes to me will never hunger." You see, Jesus is addressing, again, the spiritual need. He's addressing the deeper need within man. But again, isn't it amazing how man in general, humanity at large, isn't it amazing how people just go through life, they just walk through the world, they just, you know, live their lives as though they had no spirit, as though there was nothing to the things of the Spirit, and everything is just completely taken up with the realm of the flesh. You know, to me, it's fascinating to go to places where you see groups of people and to just watch people in action, watch them interact with each other, watch the things they do, listen to the things they say, and you just see man just goes on completely oblivious to the fact that he's a creature made by God, primarily a spiritual being, but he doesn't even think in those terms. He just goes about eating, drinking, and, you know, doing those things that fulfill the bodily appetites. That's how thorough sin's work has been wrought in our lives, to completely numb us to the reality of the things of the Spirit. Jesus says, I am the bread. I am the one that satisfies the soul. I'm the one who will bring fulfillment. Now you see, the thing is, we do sense a need for fulfillment. We don't recognize it, though, as a spiritual need, and so we try our best to fulfill it with every other imaginable thing. But what people are actually on a quest for is something that nothing in this world can ever satisfy. That's why there's never enough of anything. You see, that's human nature. That's the inability of the soul to be satisfied by anything but God. And the tragedy is that people are looking for fulfillment everywhere but in God Himself. And that's what Jesus is addressing here. I am the bread of life. It's me. You eat this bread, you'll be hungry tomorrow. But he who believes in me will never hunger. He said, but I said to you that you have seen me and you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. What a wonderful promise. Many people have been greatly encouraged by that one statement. Whoever comes to me, I will in no way cast them out. There's not a single person that could come to Jesus in sincerity, and Jesus would say, no, I'm sorry, I can't accept you. Not a single person, not a single sin or a multitude of sins. Whoever comes to me, the Lord said, I will by no means cast them out, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me, and this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. Of all that God has given him, he said he would lose nothing. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now, these words, of course, were spoken to this group of people that had gathered. But these words are still being spoken to anyone who has an ear to hear them 2,000 years later. This is the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish. It's a sad reality that people will perish. But God's not wanting anyone to perish. The word willing that Paul uses there in 1 Timothy, or the word will Paul uses, Peter uses, God is not willing. The word, it literally means God does not wish for any to perish. God is not wanting a single person to perish. He's wanting everybody to look to the Son, to believe in him, to be given life, and to be raised up on the last day. If people perish, it's not because God wanted them to perish. It's because they were not willing to receive God's grace, God's gift. But that's what he wants to do. He wants to save people. That's why Jesus came into the world. And he alone can satisfy the human soul. Take his word for it. Boy, I wish every teenager on the planet could embrace that word of truth. I am the bread of life. Because what do we see in those young people? We see them hungering after things, thirsting after things, thinking that if I could just do this, and oh boy, if I could do that. And of course, we who have done it, we try to tell them, oh no, it's not what we think. Oh, you know, you don't know. You're old. You don't know. Oh, but we do know, but they won't listen to us so often, sadly. But oh, if they would just listen to these words and be spared the heartbreak and the devastation and the pain and the misery that they will bring upon themselves by trying to do what? By trying to find fulfillment in all the wrong places where it never can be found. Now, these things that Jesus said, as I have been pointing out to you, these things were not enhancing his popularity. These things were bringing him into direct conflict with the people, and particularly the leaders. And we'll see as we pick up the study next time that this brought complaints. And you know, this is my final point, but isn't that the weirdest thing? It is just so weird to me that people live in misery and choose misery. And when you bring to them the solution, when you bring to them the answer, when you show them what will truly fulfill them, they get mad at you. They're upset. They don't want to hear that. You tell them about Jesus, and they just get so uptight. My son, who works at Starbucks, was telling me back at Christmas time, they were having a meeting and they were, you know, informing the employees that they, you know, this Merry Christmas stuff wasn't really proper. Need to, you know, Happy Holidays is the politically correct terminology. And, you know, they're down on the term Christmas. And as they were sitting there in the meeting, a couple of the guys there are believers. They said, so we can't really use the word Christmas, huh? Nope, Christmas, no, we can't use that. We, you know, Happy Holidays and so forth. And the one guy speaks up and he says, well, how come we have a Christmas blend? And the management sort of looked at each other and thought, wow, that's a good question. I don't know. Next year it'll probably be holiday blend, you know. But, you know, we're to the point where even Christmas, oh, that offends. What is the matter with people? But what is it? It's the devil has so blinded the minds of men and influenced their hearts that the God who loves them and created them and will save them and only has good things planned for them, the devil's twisted their minds to think that, no, that's bad. And this is good, what I'm doing, this sin that's making me miserable. And, you know, that's the hard thing, because I'm sure we all know people. I know people who are just miserable. They are miserable, miserable people. Life is miserable. But they prefer their misery over embracing Jesus. It's a strange thing. But that's the human condition. That's a sinful heart aggravated by the devil. It's a sad thing. But the Lord, you know, he doesn't give up on people. He keeps on pestering them. I met a lady today, and she told me that 30 years ago, a friend of hers got saved and came to Calvary Chapel and used to witness to her. And she said, oh, that person drove me absolutely nuts. She said, the first thing I did when I got saved is called them and told them I got saved. And they said, I would have never believed it. I would have never imagined it. And she was saying, I fought against it for 20 years. But boy, she was happy today that she was there to worship God, to listen to his word. If you're resisting the Lord in any way, shape, or form in your life, you are foolish. And you need to stop, because he is the bread of life. And if you come to him, you will never hunger. Jesus Christ is the only possibility for satisfaction. There's no other possibility. Jesus alone. Don't resist him. Don't oppose him. Don't reject him. Don't labor for the food that perishes. All of those things, they might satisfy you for a couple of weeks or months, but in the end, they'll leave you empty. Do the work of God. Believe in the one that He has sent.
We'll continue with more of our study through the Gospel of John in our next lesson, as Pastor Brian explains what the living bread of heaven is. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or would like to order a copy for a friend or a loved one, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled, Laboring for the Food That Does Not Perish. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3233. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.